We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 3043. One of the prophets at that time was Iddo. Now, Iddo is the prophet who came and warned Yeravam ben Nevat that he will be punished for setting up his own altar. So we're going back in Jewish history for a minute. And then the prophet had said, I won't eat in this place. And then the false prophet, Moshe Rabbeinu's son, convinced him to eat in the place. And then...
son?
Or grandson. One of two opinions. And then Iddo was consumed by a lion. Now Iddo was the son of the Shunammite, the sister of Avishag HaShunammite, who was one of King David's concubines. The Shunammite had a son named Iddo. After he was killed, so then she had another son, the prophet Habakkuk. Remember the 12 short prophets? One of them is Habakkuk. So he was the next son of this famous woman, the Shunammite. The Shunammite is the woman in the city of Shunem, Shunammite, the woman of the city of Shunem, who fed Elisha. Remember Elisha, she took care of him, and then he said, you and your son will live off of the rest, and then her son died out, and she said, what'd you do? Here I, she said, you came to, you guys know what I'm talking about? There's the story of Eliyahu bringing the child back to life, and then the story of Elisha bringing the child back to life. So the story of Elisha is in the attic, right? He used to go to that attic. So this is a pretty old lady. And that means that when Elisha blesses her, when Gehazi tells Elisha, you know, she has no kids, it's not that she had no children, it's that she had a child a long time ago. That child grew up to be a great prophet. And then that child died years ago, and now she and her husband, this old couple, are living alone, and they have no kids. And that would answer a huge question, which is, why doesn't the woman answer for herself? Elisha travels, and this woman in Shunem prepares him an attic, and after years of coming to her house, and she treats him so respectfully, she never looks him in the face. Elisha was so holy that no woman could look him in the face, and this woman is so respectful of him, and then he asks her, what can I do for you? And she says, I don't need anything. She says, I'm a regular citizen. And then Gehazi says, but she has no kids. Why didn't she say that? So this would answer it. If she was so old, she had a child. Her child grew up, became a great prophet, Iddo, and was killed. So now, at that age, perhaps she didn't think it was right to ask for another child. And then Elisha tells her, in a year you will have a child. And then she has the child. The child grows up. He's working out in the field with his father. He gets some kind of sunstroke. He says, oh no, my head, my head. He goes back to his mother and drops dead. And she lies him on the bed and rushes out to Elisha and says, I didn't ask you for such a gift. I already had a son that died. Now we understand what she was saying. She said, didn't I ask you not to lie? Didn't I ask you not to give me a gift that would just go away? And Elisha says, God hasn't told me what's going on here. So he sends Gehazi with the staff, and he says, put the staff on the kid. Don't talk to anyone. If anyone asks you where you're going, don't say. If anyone asks you what you're doing, don't answer. Go and take this staff and put it on the child, and he'll come back to life. So Gehazi does the exact opposite. He starts traveling, and he says, you see this? You know what I'm about to do? I'm going to go bring a person back from the dead. See this staff? This is what I'm supposed to do now. The prophet just sent me. I'm going to resurrect someone from the dead with this staff. So when he gets to the child... doesn't work. Elisha told him to quietly go and do it, and he didn't do that. So when he got there, it didn't work. The woman hasn't gone with Gehazi. The woman doesn't trust him. And the woman says, I'm not leaving you, the Shunammite says. I'm not leaving. You come. And so Elisha goes, and in fact, as he comes, he meets up with Gehazi coming back and saying, Rabbi, it didn't work. So then Elisha brings the child back. And that child grows up to be the famous prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk, we have a short prophecy, three subjects of Habakkuk. His first subject is, Hashem, how can you do this? How can the Jewish people suffer so much? How can it be, Yabivala Rasha Tzadik Mimenu? How could the wicked consume one who is more righteous than them? How could the Babylonian Empire torture and afflict the Jewish people? And then Hashem answers him. That's the second section of Habakkuk. And the third section is his apology. Habakkuk drew a circle in the sand, the way Moshe Rabbeinu did in last week's parsha. When Moshe davened for Miriam, he drew a circle in the sand and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not leaving till you promise me you'll cure her. So Habakkuk learned from his Rebbe Moshe, drew a circle in the sand and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not leaving till you answer me. How could it be that the Jewish people are going to suffer like that? And Hashem answers him, and then he realizes that he went too far. And that's why the next section, the final prophecy of Habakkuk, is his prayer, his apology. Why did I question you, Hashem? And that's what our sages say, that the whole book of Job is condensed into three chapters of Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk actually asked that great question of why do good people suffer? So that was the son of the Shunammite. There was a famine in Shomron in the days of Yehoram, the son of Ahav. And that is the famine that the Navi Yoel is going to talk about. That the locust will come and destroy everything. There'll be nothing left to eat. So what were they eating?
Everything where Tanis is here?
Cannibalism. horse meat.
Let's see. Where Tanis asks, what did they eat?
Last class we stopped here, and I asked the pasuk that the 10 plagues of Egypt won't happen to Israel, and this might be one of them.
Right. Well, what did I answer you?
You said, remind me.
Thursday night. Next class I said, or Thursday night?
Either you could.
Nah, Thursday night.
If you hear what you want to hear.
I guess. It says like this. Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchak, it says in the verse in Kings, this is the Gemara Tanis Hey Amad Aleph 5a. It says in the Pasuk in Melachim, in Kings, that Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he resurrected, that's the Shunamis, and she says, I recommend you go with your family and live where you have to, because God has declared there's going to be a 7-year famine. So the next 7 years, you better figure out where you're buying food from. I'm telling you now, right? He gave her the secret, what's it called in the stock market? Insider trading. He told her, I'm giving you insider information, right? There's a 7-year famine. So Rav Nachman asked, during those 7 years, what were they eating? For 7 years, there's a famine. What did they eat? He said, this is my tradition from Rabbi Yochanan. The first year, they finished everything they had in the houses. In those days, people used to store food, so they finished off what's in the houses. The second year, so then they finished off whatever they could find in the fields. They found whatever shrub or weed they could find growing. They ate. Shlishit, the third year, Masal Be'mat Torah, they would finish off all their cattle, the kosher cattle. Rivit, Masal Be'mat Me'ah, the fourth year, they were eating non-kosher cattle. They had no more food left, so they were eating non-kosher livestock, yeah. Chamishit, the fifth year, Besar Shkatzim Umasim. They were eating snakes and worms and mice, anything they could find, any vermin they could find. Shishit, Besar Bnehem Uvnotahim. The sixth year, there were people who were eating their children. Shviit, the seventh year, Besar Zrotahim. They cut off flesh from themselves and started eating it. And that's what the verse says, Ish Besar Zro'o Yochelu. That's what the Navi Yeshaya warns them. So that's the tremendous famine they had in Israel during the period of Yehoram ben Ahav.
Children, excuse me, they died from starvation.
I don't know.
And
I don't know that they were asking questions.
Okay. But everything else is philosophically okay if you have to.
Right. Even dead children is okay.
If they're dead, yeah.
Yeah, if they're dying of famine, then yes.
Question that they didn't kill them.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Holocaust, God forbid, you had people that...
For sure.
Okay, sorry about that.
So I don't know. Yeah. I never entertained the thought that they ate them after they had passed away. That's a very nice way of looking at the Gemara. I never thought of it that way. Halavai. I wish that were the right shot. I don't know. So that's the famine in Shomron. So the people are so hungry. And Elisha walks in and says, "So said Hashem, tomorrow the food is going to be so cheap that we will be able to buy the volume of 2 seah flour for a shekel," which was a huge volume of flour. That's the equivalent of, let's see, that's about 12 times 6, 72, that's 140 liters. That's a very large volume for a shekel.
Wow, that's a lot.
He said, everything's going to be so cheap. And next to the king is sitting his shalish, his officer. And he says, God's going to open a skylight in the heaven and food's going to come pouring down. Where's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? And Elisha said, you're going to witness it, but you're not going to get to eat from it. And the continuation of this story we'll pick up with Bezat Shem on Thursday night. How did the story actually come true? The Navi told them the famine's going to be over tomorrow. And how did that happen? So,
is that the one?